Shannon Murray is the school superintendent in the Merrill School District. And Shannon, thanks for coming back here this morning.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I always enjoy coming up.
I just always thought that, you know, we've always talked with our Tomahawk School Superintendent here in this county. We have two big school districts, and so why not start talking a little bit about the folks on the southern end and find out what is going on at school there, too. So I really appreciate this, and I've gotten some feedback in the last couple of times that you've been here, Shannon. I think some of the folks down in the Merrill School District appreciate this, too. So thanks again.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Anytime I get a chance to work with the community, I'm always always welcoming to that.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think I respect, a lot of people respect, and that's same thing with Wendell. Open door policy, and it's the same in Merrill, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Same good, good, Merrill. Good. So if you're in the Merrill School District, Shannon would love to hear from you if you have something to contribute or a question to ask. Right at the top of my list here this morning, Shannon, school board election results. And so what happened in the Merrill School Board elections that just passed?
Well, this year was kind of a unique year for us in that we had three board seats with two candidates, two incumbents running again. Kevin Blake and Nubs Ashbrook were running again, and we had an open seat because Ron Liberty was retiring at the end of his term. And so we had, for the first time ever, we have a 9-member board, which is kind of big for our area, 9 members. I think Tomahawk might be 7.
Okay.
Maybe, I could be wrong. But for the first time ever, we had an open, vacant uncontested seat. And so that left us exposed, if you will, to a write-in campaigns. And it was interesting because a couple things. One, it feels like people, particularly young people, are not getting engaged with these kind of civic kind of things, you know, whether it's aldermen or school boards or whatever. So
okay. There's
that underlying issue that I think needs to be addressed. We probably need to do a better job of recruiting people. But it was open to a write-in, and we did have Lynn Coutts, rise as the write-in winner. She got the votes. But what's interesting is that she has until the 27th to accept. And so if she doesn't accept, if she does accept, we'll be happy to have her, of course. If she doesn't, then then the board will do like a posting and encourage people to apply, and the board interviews, and then that person would get it for the next year until next April's election. And so it was a little unique situation for us in Merrill that this is the first time we've had fewer candidates than open seats, and that's new for us. And so made for a kind of an interesting end of March, April.
And so here we sit, and so can school business still get done with a vacant school board seat? Will that carry on regardless, or we'll just keep our fingers crossed, hope that seat fills up, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah, no, school business will continue on. So we have our reorg meeting on the 26th or 27th, whatever that Wednesday is. And we'll see what Lynn does, if she accepts or not. But yeah, the show goes on. And then we'll, if she accepts, she gets sworn in, takes the oath. And if not, then we post it and put it out. But we'll still have eight board members. So the show goes on.
What are some of the challenges presenting themselves to the school board for this next session here, Shannon? What are some of the things that you're hoping come out of some of these school board meetings, and what are some of the things you're looking at this year?
Well, one of the big things, that the big heavy lifts for springtime, of course, has been budget planning for 26-27.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as we shared, I think I was on here last time talking about the impacts of taxes and property taxes,
right,
and those kind of things in the budget. So, As we prepare for the 26-27 school year, due to, you know, rising cost, declining enrollment, a combination of a lot of things, our district budget will be, we had to reduce about $2.5 million worth of expenses from the 26 or going into 26-27, which is quite a bit. I mean, that's a lot. And so in our case, that's going to be about a dozen FTEs. Positions gone, you know, reductions in maintenance budgets, curriculum budgets, a lot of different things. And so we are taking reductions in administration and teaching staff, support staff. Some of it would have happened naturally because we're getting a little smaller, you know, so I mean, some of it would have happened naturally. But our board has been great. We started this process well before Christmas, kept our board informed the entire way, put some proposals forward. They approved different things. And so we're pretty set now on where we're going for 26-27. But that was a heavy lift, and it's not fun work. You know, anytime you're making those kind of reductions, it impacts, you know, class sizes. It impacts, you know, ultimately impacts real people with real jobs, you know, which is you know, very sad and tragic. And you know, we had to do a lot of that heavy lifting. Now, as we get past that, coming into spring and summer, then it becomes about strategic planning and annual planning and those kind of things that will do that kind of work over the summer. But the heavy lift was the budget stuff, and I don't see that going away.
And so that was a big thing that, as a new Merrill school district taxpayer, that was one thing that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, was the amount of money that went up to this school coming out of our taxes this year. And so just to be on the proactive side of things this year, taxpayers in Merrill can expect more of the same that we had this year. Are there some improvements coming at lower tax? What can we expect this year around so we're not blindsided so much?
Yeah, so that's going to be really hard to say. So I can tell you this, our budget is smaller. So on our end, our expenses and our costs are down. And so logic would tell you that would lead to lower property taxes in our area. However, as I explained last time, it's all about how much aid comes out of Madison.
Yeah.
And so they're having those discussions down there. I know there's some interest in helping school education aid and property tax relief and all those kind of things that are being discussed down there. I think it gets political and they try to lump things in and whatever. So kind of stay tuned. It's really that part of it is out of our control. It depends on what happens out of Madison.
Yeah. And again, you being here with us, you can keep us kind of up to date as we go through this process as well. And so lots of folks, I think that's the thing, Shannon, a lot of people, they want to support the schools, but nobody likes a surprise. And I think just from what I've learned and whether it's accurate or not, a lot of people just felt like they were surprised by this year's tax payment. Going to the schools. And so getting out in front of it this year seems like a good way to go.
Yeah, the challenge of getting out in front of it, though, is that we find out our aid allotment in mid-October.
Yeah.
So, the official number. And so it's hard to get out in front of it because October leads to the November levy, which leads to a December tax bill. That's a pretty small window for me to get out in front of anything. And so we tried to do some things, but it was still a surprise for all of us.
And all you can do is do the best you can with what you got, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know, something else that that came out of some discussions is, and I don't know how you're going to react to this or not, but a lot of people told me the same thing, that Shannon kind of inherited a situation. He's going to have to try to figure out a way to get out of it. Is that pretty accurate if people are thinking that?
What is the situation?
I guess less than positive stuff being just, and I'm not sure if it was just sour grapes because of the tax bill being higher or not, that people don't think that they're getting what they're getting for their money. They're not getting a good bang for their buck, so to speak, with their taxes. But then a lot of people turn on and say, but Shannon inherited this situation, so he's trying.
Well, I appreciate people taking that approach, this is my fourth year, and so, but I've been in Merrill, since 06, and so a long time as a high school principal. There are just some things that have taken place in Merrill over the years that, my predecessors, previous boards had to make some pretty tough decisions about closing some elementary schools and consolidating some things. We've had some administrative turnover and some pretty key positions over the years, curriculum directors and those kind of things. This is my fourth year. I've got a real stable team. We're aligned K-12 on all of our initiatives. And so I think we're in a pretty good position to make, start seeing some gains here.
Okay.
Merrill's got a lot of great things going for it. Merrill Schools have got a lot of great things going for it. And so there's been some challenging times there as we've adjusted to declining enrollment and, budget reductions and those kind of things. But we're up for the task and up to the task, and we've got the right people in place that we think we can do it.
I can tell you this, based on the location of the school campus, it's not on the main drag, so a lot of us that have always passed through Merrill never had a chance to see the school complex itself. It is an impressive campus, Shannon. I'm going to tell you that high school complex out there especially, it is one impressive, good-looking campus. It's something that Merrill can be very proud of.
Yeah, we've got great grounds. Our custodial staff historically has done a great job of keeping all of our facilities in awesome condition. The middle school is right downtown. You drive past that on 64 as you cut through town.
Right.
That building, the oldest section of it is 1922. It's very clean. It's an awesome old building. And so we do keep track of our facilities. We do take care of our facilities. We've historically run a roofing replacement cycle. And so we're always replacing chunks of roof because we want to keep track of that as a value to our community and their investment in our schools.
And speaking of that building, Prairie River Middle School facility study is, can you enlighten us about the facility study for that building?
Yeah, so we've engaged with CESA 10 out of Chippewa Falls. They're the CESA that kind of focuses or is expert on facility study, because that building that we have there, 1922 is the old section, and then I think it's 45, then there's a 70, and then there's, I think the last one was like 86 or 96 or something, sorry. nowadays, things like HVAC is very challenging in the 1922 section. The building itself is maxed out on the amount of electricity that can go into there in parts of it. And so we're doing a study to say, okay, what do we have to do to get that up to speed and to make that a functioning, you know, vibrant school setting in this day and age? And meanwhile, as we get into declining enrollment, that building now is probably 25% empty. Our high school's got space for about, I would say, about 20%. So, you know, we can even start having some discussions about further consolidation. However, a couple challenges there is that that building, it lies in the heart of our town. It's in a beautiful campus with a library and the park.
Yeah, and the river right there, yeah.
Everybody went to school there, so people love that building, which I respect. I went to school there. So, but meanwhile, regardless of what we would ever do with that building, we'd want to keep the auditorium, the field house, the pool, that's our school pool attached to that building. And so we're doing the first step of this study is to find out what kind of costs are we looking at to get, you know, to maintain that building in for years to come. And then develop a plan on, you know, do we want to invest in that building? Do we want to talk about consolidation? And so that'll be a pretty big heavy lift for us for the next couple of years as we're sorting that out.
Shannon Murray is our guest here this morning, superintendent of schools in Merrill's community, and the facilities study at the Prairie River Middle School. So that's something that's going to be ongoing, and so we can listen back for some reports as those reports start to come in.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on that. We should have a report back to the board from CSUTendon this June, and then I imagine we'll put together a community advisory group to proceed with the long-term feasibility of that site.
I've heard a lot of mention in the news about special education here in the state of Wisconsin in general, and gosh, I don't ever get a chance. It seems like I don't ever get a chance to really get my head wrapped around it, but the proposed special education reimbursement throughout the state of Wisconsin, first of all, what is that and how does that affect our kids needing special education treatment here in the Merrill School District?
Yeah, so special education is expensive. You know, you need a lot of aides and a lot of specialized people, whether it's speech and language specialists or occupational therapists. You know, it's very expensive, but we want to make sure that we do right by those students, and but there are costs, and so the expectation is that the state and federal government help out with those costs and reimbursements. And so historically, those reimbursements to school districts have not kept up with the actual costing. In fact, at Merrill, I think last year we had to take about $4 million from our general budget and transfer it into special education funds to support our special ed programs.
And that was something new that normally didn't happen. They were separate. Now, all of a sudden, they're kind of merging, and that's kind of probably shortchanging a couple of different departments.
Yeah, and that's built up over time. So
right. So
last year was $4 million. The year before, it might have been $3.8 million.
Okay.
Whatever. So that's been kind of building. And so legislators in Madison, including our local reps, have always been supportive of reimbursing special education costs at an adequate level. And so this year's current budget says that those reimbursement rates would be 42% for this current school year, 45% for next school year, which was very significant increase. They were in the 30s prior to that.
Okay.
And so that was great. However, what happened was when they started to cost this out, they went to, from what I understand, they went to DPI for a dollar amount. DPI might have underestimated those costs. And so they did it on a dollar value based on, you know, they essentially asked DPI, what is 42% going to cost us? They got a number. That number ends up being in the mid-30s in reality because it was off.
Okay.
And so now in Madison, there's discussion about, okay, we've got to fill that gap. We've got to get the funding up to what we said it would be at that 42 and that 45% percentile, which would be substantial money for us. Tom Hawk, I'm assuming, is the same way. That would provide us some pretty significant budget relief, which would be great. We there's strong support for that in Madison. I know just about everybody's on board with that because it was committed in the budget already. It's just a matter of how they're going to make it work. And so now it's just kind of hammering it out. You know, a lot of times these things don't stand alone. So it's like, yeah, I support this if this.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So,
yep. So
they play the game. So we're very optimistic that that will happen. All indications are that it will. In fact, we have a legislative dinner tonight with some different legislators down in Wausau, and we'll get an update on that. But if that were to happen, if they fund it at the level that they had anticipated in, are two, we'll be in good shape. That'd be very helpful for us.
And when you say good shape, is it going to get us back to where we were before some of these shortcomings came in, or are we going to be playing catch up and hopefully get back to that level at some point once we get the green light from Madison?
Yeah, so it'll be a little bit of catch up. It's far short of what we need. But in our case, like next year, if it comes through, if they commit to the 45 that they said they would in the budget, compared to what there is actually happening, that'd be about $300,000 for Merrill that we could not take, that we could not shift out of our general fund to support special ed.
Now, when you hear about this this kind of stuff going on in Madison, and you know this, we've got this surplus of tax dollars, and a guy sitting in your seat said, boy, I could make some really good use of those tax dollars, and we could make a really big deal out of some of those tax dollars, but sometimes they just, and again, I get this, they want to return the money to the taxpayers. When you take that kind of a money and you split it up between all the taxpayers individually, it doesn't do a whole lot for our individual budgets, but what it could do in a whole for a school district, gosh, it just seems to me like if we want to really invest this money in our future, let's do it with the schools and make sure that the schools are using it properly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with the surplus because and I empathize with the legislators in Madison. I mean, everybody's got their needs, whether
yes.
roads are yep. huge, education, university system and tech college. You know, there's a million things, social services. There's a lot of ways you could spend money really quick, not to mention giving some back in property tax relief.
Right.
So I understand the challenges that they have, and I respect the work that they do. And so it's not as easy as just writing a refund check to everybody.
No, and sometimes I tend to pile on the legislators, but sometimes they don't deserve it. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. But as long as we know, here's the way I look at it. If guys like you are okay with the way things are going, then I'm going to trust you and your judgment to know that, yeah, they're trying, but it's not always just black and white. There's usually a lot of red area in between.
Yeah, all indications are they're trying very hard on this 42-45 special ed reimbursement.
Okay.
That seems to be on both sides of the aisles. There's strong support for that. And so I trust that process will see itself through.
Good to know. People that have challenges in life need all the help that we can afford to give them. And so, gosh, I hope this really works out well. We're just about out of time here, but this last thing that you wanted to add, you've got a message for folks that are especially going to have kids in high school here this next year here, because Brad Potter is somebody that's coming here to Tomahawk, and you know Brad a little bit, huh?
Yeah, Brad was just hired as the Tomahawk principal, high school principal starting next year, and I've had the pleasure of working with Brad for the last 20 years. He for probably about 6 or 7 of those years, he was my assistant principal at Merrill High School, and now he's ready to become a principal, and the opportunity opened up at Tomahawk. Brad's a great man. He's an outstanding human, great character. He was a fantastic teacher, which I think is important in that role.
Yeah.
And he's been a great assistant principal. He's a systems guy. He's easy to work with. He's approachable. Tomahawk's got a good one, and I think Tomahawk High School should be very happy with that hire.
I think that's always a good situation. A guy that's managing things has been there and done that from the other end of things, and so I think that makes a good manager, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Brad will be great. He has my full support, and I wish him the best.
Shannon, anything before that? I'll give you some last words here. Got about 45 seconds for some last words. How do you want to leave us today?
Well, we're coming into about 5 weeks of school left, and so it's going to get busy. Spring sports, proms, all those kind of things happening, and before you know it, we'll be at graduation, and then on to the next thing. And so it's wrapping up fast. It's been a great year.
These school years sure fly by. What's the best way to get a hold of you if somebody has a concern or a question about the Merrill School District? What's a good way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way is call 715-536-4581 and ask for Shannon. That's
there
the best
you go.
Way to do it.
Does it every time. Well, Shannon, thanks for being here with us. We'll see you next month, and we'll wrap up another school year, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Excuse me, Shannon Murray, our school superintendent in our community of Merrill, and we're glad to have him here on the Sunrise Show once a month here, just like we do here in Tomahawk. Serving both communities here on the Sunrise Show.